Good evening. I trust you can hear me well. Thank you, John, for the lovely song. It has lifted my spirit. The last time somebody did that to me when I was in Uganda, I ended up on this stage with the people that were singing in some other language, jumping up and down. I regretted it later, but, you know. It has lifted my spirits, and I hope it did yours as well. Speaking of lifting up of spirits, prayer is one of those things that is meant to lift up our spirits and lift us up to God. And as we continue looking at You Can Really Grow, it is quite important, obviously, for us to then dwell for a moment on the issue of prayer. I picture our relationship with God as we come to know Him and grow in Him. It's quite important, the Bible and prayer. So what is it like talking about audacious requests? We've seen in the reading where Jesus teaches the disciples about prayer. He talks about how to pray. This is how we ought to pray. So he teaches us, which is something that I think we've all heard that scripture before. We have said the Lord's Prayer over and over again. It's nothing that we haven't heard before. It's something that we've been there, we've heard that scripture. What is Marshall going to say about that today? But the thing that I wanted us to look at is the relationship part of prayer. That prayer in itself is an important part of us having a relationship with God. It's not just about, in so many times, which I have done myself. I've prayed so many times, sometimes with my daughter, sometimes on my own, because it is the right thing to do as a Christian. I ought to pray before I go to bed. I ought to pray in the morning when I get up. So I'm getting up, I'm in my car, I'm driving because I'm a little bit late for work, and I'm saying, Lord, thank you so much for today. I'm praying that my day is going to be a good day filled with your presence. Amen. And I'm getting to work. That's it, done. You know, it's ticking the box. Have you prayed today, Marshall? Yes. Do you pray every day? Yes, absolutely. I tick that box. It's something that I do all the time. And does that make me a good Christian? Is that really helping my relationship with God? Is that growing my relationship with God? I don't think that there's much value in it as a way of relating to God, as a way of cultivating a relationship between me and God. So I would say, as I say, that we've all been there. We've all done this. But today we don't want to talk about that kind of prayer. I've done that kind of prayer. And that kind of prayer didn't help me to grow. It still doesn't help me to grow because I continue to do it sometimes. But that's not what I want us to talk about today. What I want us to talk about today is the relationship part of prayer. The prayer where we are actually talking to God as our Father, the way that Jesus taught us to talk to Him. So it's a relational prayer. What does this do? It's cultivating a submission. It's cultivating communication. It's cultivating trust. As it says in the Bible, we walk by faith and not by sight. It's helping us to grow strength. It gives us an anchor for our peace. So these are the things that help us when we have a relational prayer, when we pray out of relationship rather than out of obligation, not because it is the thing that we need to do as Christians, but because it is the thing that we want to do as a people who have a relationship with our Father. So we want to pray, we want to ask Him. But then saying that, is that all? Jesus doesn't just say, well, say, our Father who is in heaven, you know, hallowed, blessed be your name. He then talks about your kingdom come, your will be done. So he's carrying on. There is more to that. As we look at it again, I found another time as well that sometimes as Christians, I found this also of myself a lot of times, in the 24, 25 years that I've been a Christian. I find so many times I am swayed by life circumstances. The way I pray is linked with the circumstance of my life. Now that again is something that God always continues to tell me, this isn't the way that we ought to have that relationship with Him. That's not the way to relational prayer. See, I ought to pray as God continuously teaches me, and I pray that He continuously teaches all of us, that we the idea and the issue is to pray out of relationship, out of love. In season and out of season, as Paul says, it's not because things are good. Therefore, I am going to worship God because I have all the reasons in the world to worship God. So I'm going to be very, very high up there all the time. I lift my hands in church and I do all the things. As soon as I hit a snag, I fall flat on my face and I start, where is He? If God was really here, why would He let this happen to me? How can I say that I'm a Christian when, you know, all this stuff is happening to me? You know, if God was really a God who cares for me, He wouldn't let this happen to me. And then I can't pray. I can't even think about God being there. Recognize yourself, anyone? Because I certainly recognize myself in those shoes. I've done that a lot of times. But God teaches me, and I pray today that He will also start to teach us, if not already has been teaching us. I hope that we'll encourage each other as we talk about this prayer. Relationship is not about when I feel like it. Another side is when I'm in trouble. I suppose sometimes it depends on what it is that's troubling me. When I'm in trouble and I really need God to come through because I want Him to do something. Not a life-threatening thing, but something where I've gone for an interview and I really need to get that job because it's important, you know. I've applied for a mortgage and I really want them to say yes. And then I pray more because there's something that I want. God's not a means to an end. He's not a genie. We don't rub the pot, you know. But that's not relationship. Someone who loves you because they want something isn't someone that loves you. It's not relationship. So now that I'm done talking about the things that it's not, we are now looking, what is this prayer that He was teaching the disciples? When we wanted, what is it that we want from God as we pray? What should we want? What should we be asking for? What is the right way to ask? What should we be asking for? First of all, we realize that Jesus did pray. Jesus, who Himself was God, came from heaven, prayed. A very typical example is the time when He was going to choose His disciples. It says, Luke 16:12, He spent the night in prayer. So if Jesus spent the night in prayer, see, many, many years I've always thought that He just walked about, saw a person and thought, I like the look of him. Stop fishing. Come with me. You know, but it wasn't like that. You know, He spent time in prayer. Before He even started His ministry, He started by prayer. Do we pray and dedicate what it is that we want to do? Do we dedicate our lives before the Lord? As we start to take a new season in our lives, do we dedicate ourselves to God? As we take a new step, do we put the Lord forward in everything that we do? We find that Jesus did pray. And as we are copies of who He is, we ought to also do exactly what the Master did and pray. So we've looked a little bit at the Lord's Prayer. Now I wanted us to look at the next bit when Jesus is talking about this friend has guests in the evening and he needs something to help cater for his guests. And then he goes to his, I might term a best mate, I don't know. He goes over to his friend's house, knocks on the door at night, and he's asking for something from him. And he is annoyed a little bit, I suppose, you know, because what time is it, you know? But it says that even if he won't give him because of their relationship, he will give him because of the audacity that he has. Because of, what is audacity? It's the boldness. I like it in the book, you can really grow, it says, the shameless audacity. It is the shameless boldness where, you know, I forget who I am. I think not about my own dignity. I think more about the thing that I want. And that is the thing that drives me to go forth. I am going over there and saying, well, I have a relationship with you, so I'm going to come and knock. I know it's at night, but I'm going to knock anyway. I don't care that it's at night. I don't care what time it is. I'm just going to come and knock. I need you to give me this thing. So I'm just going to come and ask. So this friend ends up giving him because of his audacity. Now Jesus is teaching this to the disciples. Sometimes I imagine how we come before the Lord. As we come to pray before God, we are imagining God as being this great, amazing God who is so fearful, so wonderful, so amazing, so huge, that we are coming from a standpoint of fear. We are coming before God from a standpoint of an apology. But really, being audacious means we recognize who we are before Him. We come as children. It says in Romans 8:15, we are given a spirit of childhood, not one of slavery and fear, but a spirit of childhood, where we come before God, you know, and cry to Him, Abba, Father. So because we have been accepted, because we have been given the right to be called His children, when we approach God, we don't approach Him from a standpoint of fear. We don't approach Him as a, well, I must talk to Him. But we approach Him as our Father, who we need to have a conversation with. So we come in boldness. We believe in prayer. If we believe in prayer, it means we believe in God. Believing in prayer means that we are actually agreeing. One, that God is there. Two, that God can do what He said He can do. That His word is true. When He says that He is going to do something, He will do it. See, if we don't have these fundamental beliefs, then it's very difficult for us to come before God and be audacious. How can I be bold to go to someone in whose abilities I have no confidence? If I'm not sure that God can do the thing that He says He can do, I cannot go before Him and ask Him to do this outrageously impossible thing. How can I? I might as well go and ask my daughter. She'll smile. Maybe she'll even give me a cuddle, but she's not going to help me. So, if I believe, see, it's taking God at His word. We need to take God at His word. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For they that come before Him must, or come unto Him, must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What does this mean? First, believe that God is, that He is God. Get that foundation right. Sometimes we have believed God because we were in a... It's possible to be in a very spirit-filled church that moves in the Spirit of God, but not actually be a person that is filled with the Spirit of God and moving together with God. It's like a person being tossed in a river, and the river's really flowing very fast. You're in the river, but you're not part of the river. I could be in the river that's flowing very, very fast, and everyone else who loves, who's embraced the river, is swimming towards the current, you know, or along with the current and enjoying themselves, and I'm fighting, facing the other way, or I'm just being carried along and I'm screaming, you know. I'm not a part of what is actually happening. So for us to have the audacity, we need to believe in the God that has saved us. The basis of my faith, the foundation of my faith, determines what I can expect out of God. If my faith is wrong, if I received God because, you know what, I thought, everybody gets baptized at about this age, so maybe I should also get baptized. I'm going to go and get baptized. But you see, is he my father? If I can't call him father in the way that I can call my earthly father, daddy, if I can't call God in that way, if I can't view him that way, it's very difficult to have that relationship in prayer. But if I can believe that he is, why am I saying this? Is there any example at all? Abraham believed God when he told him that he was going to have children as numerous as the stars. He believed God, and God accredited him with righteousness for his belief. He didn't do any works. He wasn't a very righteous man in God's eyes. Maybe in my eyes and your eyes, but he wasn't a very righteous man in God's eyes. But the thing that made him stand out from everybody else was that when God told him something, he took God at his word. He believed that God could do what he couldn't, what seemed quite impossible. He did even object. How is that going to happen? I'm old. You know, he didn't think that that was possible, but he believed it when God told him, I'm going to do this. So, what am I trying to say? We take God at his word. Let's dare to take God at his word. Let's dare to believe God at what he says. If he says he's going to do it, then we believe that he's going to do it. And then we have a relationship out of love. He says, ask and you will receive. If he says, ask and you will receive, does he mean that we might receive? It didn't say I've looked at all the versions of the Bible, except for the Greek maybe, because I can't do Greek. But I've looked at all the versions of the Bible that I know how to read, and I haven't seen one that says he might give it to you. You might receive. It says, and you will receive. What will you receive? An answer. You will receive an answer from God. Might not be the answer that I want, but I will receive an answer. Because out of relationship, God will give me an answer. Out of relationship, God is going to give me an answer. So, he says, ask and you will receive. Sometimes God is just like a father, as we read in the scripture towards the end. He's just like a father. See, he says, which one of you, when your child asks for a fish, gives him a snake? Now, if we don't give our children the wrong thing that will harm us, we can trust God that he won't give us what will harm us. But I would like to invert it a little bit. See, if we ask God for a snake, would he give us a snake? Of course he's not going to give us a snake. Why? Because we are asking for the wrong thing, so he will not give us. If my child asks me for something that would hurt her, I'm doing my ironing. And she says, oh, can I try, Daddy? And she's three. I am not going to give her the iron. I don't care how much I love her. I can't give it to her. See? Would she walk away saying, my daddy doesn't love me? Sometimes she does, actually. You know? But does it mean that I don't love her? No. You know, if she let me explain why I cannot give her the thing that she has asked for, she would understand. She would even thank me. She wouldn't walk away, you know, disappointed. She would walk away saying, oh, yes, I have a loving daddy. See, I hope we can draw the relationship there. Sometimes When I have been low and I've said, why is God allowing this thing to happen to me? The reason why he's allowing it to happen is because there is something that he can see that is beyond my scope of vision. There is something that he can see that he looks at and says, okay, yeah, I can't give you that. Sometimes I'm not asking for the right thing. Sometimes I'm asking out of selfish ambition. Sometimes I'm asking for something because it's not the right time yet. He has probably even sometimes he's given it to me. But the time is not now. It's been granted but delayed, as far as I'm concerned. But see, to him, it's not delayed. It's on time. But for me, in my eyes, I can't see it, so I say, oh, he doesn't love me. See? I don't want to pull it too long. I've given you an African preaching today. I've been yelling at you. I'll say this, though. Let's trust God. Let's be audacious. Let us dare to be audacious. Bring it to God, no matter what it is. Don't be scared of the person next to you when you want to pray. Don't be scared of your circumstance. It doesn't matter. Don't think, oh, no, God wouldn't want to hear about this thing. God wouldn't want me to be telling him. I don't think God really wants to know about this part of my life. No. Open yourself up. Let us open ourselves up and allow God to be God in our lives. Why? He still does the same thing that he was doing during the time of Jesus, during the time of Adam, during the time of Moses. He hasn't been diluted. If he hasn't been diluted, he is the same God in you, who is the same God in me, who is the same God who shepherded Jesus through the whole time. He can do it. But we just need to be audacious, have the boldness, because God has given us that spirit that allows us to come before him. We are accepted, we are loved. Therefore, we need to have the boldness to come before him. I would love to see people just raising up their hands, praying out loud to God, never minding about what does it look like, what is the next person saying, you know, in front of me. Take that, do that at home, do that in your whole life. Don't worry about circumstance. Don't worry. Just pray. When you're in trouble and it feels like you can't pray, pray. That's the answer. It sounds too easy. But it works. Because he will show you the way. He will show me the way. He has shown me the way a lot of times. But he continues to do that. Let us be daring. Let us be audacious. Let us be bold. Amen.